Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears along with you here. Getaway Friday, July 24th, 2026. 14 coming up on 15 minutes past the hour. Still alone in the studio on this Friday night, so I don't know if there'll be a show next hour or not. I guess that will depend on if Matt wakes up. We think he's asleep. I really don't know. I haven't heard anything. So in any event, if anybody would like to call in, you can be a guest co-host tonight or a part of this program. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Well, we made it through the first hour, so we'll see if we'll make it through the second hour. And I was very glad to see Pastor Craig back here today. He joined us from about 11:30 until 1 in the afternoon, and then he did a two-hour show from 1 until 3, and I was very glad to have him back here today. It was good to see Pastor Craig, and glad he was here. So, I don't know if he's out there listening. If Pastor Craig's listening, feel free to call in. 740-383-9944. You know, it was interesting, because most of the time I was here with him today, we were on the air, and we really didn't get a chance much to visit in between the breaks. So, you know, sometimes when you're doing this kind of a program, you don't get the time that you would like to visit during the breaks with people. In any event, the phone lines are open again, 740-383-9944. If you'd like to call in, please feel free to do so. Well, we had some interesting conversations in hour number one. I certainly think there are a lot of engagements going on. Now, I don't know what's prompting that, and you know, it's fine, whatever. People can get engaged, but maybe July is the month for that. July, August, summer fever. Maybe there's something there that gets people in the mood to propose to people. Oh, you know, there's something I wanted to play. I have an instrumental song here, and I want to see how good you and the listening audience are. Can anybody tell me what this is the music from? We'll play this, and you know, this will make us sound important. Can anybody tell me what show this was the music from? This shouldn't be too hard. Sounds serious, doesn't it? Does anybody know what this is the music from? 740-383-9944. Any guesses at all? We're about halfway through. 740-383-9944. What's this the music from? We don't have any prizes. You know, I might use this as the theme for this show. The closing every night. And there it was. Does anybody know what that was the theme from? Very long-running program. Who's a genius out there tonight? Who's going to be impressive and tell me this? 18 and a half minutes past the hour. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. All right. And if we get a dead spot later in the program, we'll play that again. We'll see if anybody comes up with it. What is that the music for? I like that song. Let's see here. Well, does anybody have anything more to say about this student who apparently was denied enrollment at Pleasant? I don't know. I don't think we know a lot of the particulars around this case, and who knows. I think it's very, very difficult to make any kind of a judgment in this particular case because I don't know what's going on now. And I don't know what measures were taken early on with this student. So it's hard to tell. It's hard to tell. I really don't know. I wish I knew more. Now, earlier I was told, we had some people out there listening. If those people are still out there listening, one in particular, let me know. I'll say hello to you. I'll become Willard Scott here on the air all of a sudden. And if you're listening to the show, give me a call or send a message on social media, 740-383-9944, and I'll say hello to you over the airwave. Won't that be nice? I'll have something clever to say. Well, we'll hope. I can't guarantee it'll be clever, but we'll hope it's clever. In the hope, you know who I haven't heard from at all today? Is our friend Lee out there. Now, last week, Lee did not know that Matt's show was taped. And he was trying to call in to Matt's show. Now, I don't know if there'll be a Matt show tonight. Jury's out at this particular point. But I have not heard him. I don't think he called in this morning. I don't know if I heard him at all this week. Lee, if you're out there, give us a call. Let us know what's going on with you. 740-383-9944. And Ted Jolliffe stopped by in the studio earlier today. I had not seen Ted in a while, so it was good to see him. Always good to have people out there. Maybe the person who was listening earlier is no longer listening. Or they just don't want me to say their name on the air. It could be that, too. You know, sometimes it's a double-edged sword. Coming up on 21 minutes past the hour. Does nobody know what that was the theme to that I played earlier? Somebody's got to know this. Somebody's got to know this. I'll play a little bit of it again. You know, good time killer, too, as well. And it's a catchy tune. Isn't it a catchy? You'll be whistling this tomorrow. Here we go. What's this the theme to? Isn't there a program on people's phones now that they can just put it out there and it'll hear the music and tell you what the song is? Maybe not. Nobody knows what this is. Maybe nobody knows what this is or our phones are dead. Nobody knows what this is or the phones are dead. That's where we are right now. 740-383-9944. Well, it's a catchy tune to run in the background, isn't it? Okay. Let's see here. What else do we got going on tonight? Well, I don't know if Lee's listening tonight either. You know, it could be one of those nights. It is a summer night. It's July. Man, let's see. Well, the conversation this week on this program was essentially wrapped around flock cameras, the city going in fiscal emergency, and Fire Chief Chuck Deem's plans to retire. Now, I don't know why these are the issues. Well, I guess I do. I mean, they're noteworthy. They're newsworthy, I would have to say. But the flock camera thing, you know, I just don't think that there's enough votes on city council to pass this, to get rid of the flock cameras. I mean, I appreciate what people feel about them and how they feel about them, but I just don't think that the votes are there. And as long as the votes aren't there, I think that pretty well is going to be a non-starter for people. Well, somebody just sent me a message. It wasn't Matt, unfortunately, but I don't know if this person's listening or not. You know, jury's out. Again, the phone lines are open if you want to call in. You know who else we haven't heard from is Adam. Adam has called in like the last two or three Fridays, And I have not heard from Adam either. Hopefully he's well. Adam, if you're out there, feel free to call in. We'll just start running down our regular caller name list, and we'll see if anybody picks up the phone. Or maybe just people just like listening to me talk tonight. Which that could be as well. You know, I will say, my mouth is dry. You know, that's something they don't teach you in any broadcasting school. Not that I ever went to a broadcasting school, because I did not. But when you talk nonstop for a period of time, your mouth goes dry. And look at a comedian who's up on stage for a long period of time talking, or somebody who's giving a speech. You always notice that they have bottles of water sitting around. And I think you become dehydrated when you just continually talk. I don't think there's any two ways around it. I think you just become dehydrated, and that's the way it goes. You know, I'm depressed that nobody knew that song. That song has probably been heard on television, big-time network television, hundreds, maybe thousands of times. And nobody knows what that theme song was. If anybody knows, let me know. 740-383-9944. You know, a subject we got into earlier today that I thought was kind of interesting was, should you be positive all the time? Now, here's what I think. I think that it's good to be optimistic all the time, but I'm not sure if you have to be positive all the time. I think you can critique things. I think you can give your opinion on things, and I don't think it always has to be good, and I don't think you should be run out of town just because you have a bad opinion of something, but I think you should be optimistic that whatever it is will get better. Now, see, I'm okay with that type of criticism in which I'm giving you criticism, but I hope you'll get better. That's how I feel about most people, by the way. I'm giving you life advice and criticism because I hope that you will take the advice and get better. So I think that type of criticism is okay. I think criticism just to criticize is not good. And as I said earlier in the program, I cannot criticize things and people on social media because in the end, I know that that will hurt people who I don't intend to hurt. And I'm not in the really mood or interest at this point in my life to want to hurt anybody for any particular reason. You know, somebody, who was it? Was it Maya Angelou? I guess I'll give her credit for this quote. She used to say that hurt people hurt people. And you know, I think that's probably right. Hurt people, comma, hurt people. That if you're hurting yourself, you tend to want to hurt others. And I think there's some profound advice in that quote. And I think Maya Angelou said it. Now, does that mean every case is that? I don't think every case is that. But I think that's pretty apt. Does anybody have any thoughts on that one? 740-383-9944. 27 minutes past the hour on this getaway Friday night. Boy, I'll tell you, Matt must really be sleeping tonight. You know, I don't know what the situation is with his alarms or his sleep schedule. It must be a wreck. Now, he was on time this morning. We were giving him all the credit this morning for being on time, and then who knows what happened to him. Poor man. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, Scott. Totally different topic. Did you hear about, and you're listening to my washing machine running in the background, so I'm trying to do chores, be doubly productive. The man in, I believe he was a Marion man. It happened in Crawford County today. He had been charged with 4 counts of gross sexual imposition, and they found him not guilty in less than 90 minutes.
Really?
Yes. I'm trying to find the story now.
He was found not guilty.
Not guilty in less than 90 minutes. And guess who his attorney was?
Who's that?
Rocky Ratliff.
Oh, really?
And I believe, if I'm reading this story correctly, the man was some type of teacher, some type of teaching capacity.
Okay. You know, I remember this. I think I don't know the man well, but I knew of him.
let's see, 71-year-old Bruce Cressup.
Yes, Bruce Cressup.
Not guilty of 4 felony counts of gross sexual imposition after approximately 90 minutes of deliberation. The verdict concludes a case involving allegations made by a 16-year-old student. Prosecutors and the defense each issued statements following Friday's decision.
That's terrible.
Well, I'll get to the story here. Okay. And you know what's really terrible is the man was found not guilty, and they decided to use his mugshot to lead the story with anyway.
Oh, who did that?
Marion County Now. Isn't that tacky?
There you go.
Let's see.
Used his mugshot?
Yes.
Oh, man.
I'll send it to you.
That's horrible.
Following the acquittal, let's see, Crawford County Assistant Prosecutor Dan Stanley issued a statement on behalf of the prosecutor's office exclusively to Crawford County Now. The Crawford County Prosecutor's Office absolutely respects the verdict rendered by today's jury. This case was a serious matter, and it was clear that the jury took it seriously. We will always strive to obtain justice for victims, especially our young ones, and will continue to do even where cases are difficult. We thank the victims and their families for coming forward and hope that all the victims of sexual crimes continue to do so. We thank Bucyrus Police Department for their efforts in this case as well. And then defense attorney Rocky Ratliff, who represented Cressup, argued that a generational gap in communication styles played a significant role in the trial. According to Ratliff, one of the primary hurdles for the jury was determining whether any interaction between the defendant and the victim was motivated by sexual gratification. Ratliff maintained that the case lacked sufficient evidence from the start and criticized the prosecution's handling of the matter. The system work, Ratliff said. The failure, in my opinion, was in the lack of appropriate investigation by the prosecutor's office. The case should have never been charged, Ratliff concluded.
And this was in
Marion. Crawford County Common Pleas Court Judge Sean Leopold released Cressup, who has been in custody since March. Nice. So the guy's been in. Wow, he got a quick trial, didn't he? 4 months?
And he's been in jail since March?
That's what it says.
Oh,
I guess
boy.
They don't screw around in Crawford County because it took Ayers, 2 years to get a trial or something like that?
Yeah, but why did nobody bail this man out?
Well, you know what I learned about bail, and unfortunately I learned this from Ayers, is that we all think you get your bail money back, but you don't. So Ayers, his bail was $500,000. He had to put up $10,000 of it. And you would think that when he was found not guilty, that he would get that $50,000 back. He didn't. And that was $50,000 out of his retirement or something along those lines. Thankfully, he had it. And, yeah, he's out $50,000, and he was not guilty. Think about that. And so there was a situation, it was very similar to Ayers, but the guy sat in jail for a year before he was found not guilty, and his bond was something like $25,000, and his family just didn't have the money to bond him out, so he sat in jail for a year.
But can't you sue when you're
found
not guilty?
No, because prosecutors have immunity. They have prosecutorial immunity.
But you can sue the county, right?
No, yeah, but what Ayers is doing with Ray, he's saying it's basically outside the scope of immunity because it's just so egregious. So, that's to be determined as far as that goes. We still have to wait for Heidi's decision, but, yeah.
But this happened, so we really don't know what the man was accused of.
The verdict happened today. Gross sexual imposition. Which that means that's touching anyone over the age of 13. It's not sex or rape. It's unwanted touching, to my understanding.
See, this is, I don't know. You know, like I said, I know of him. I knew him in passing, but I don't know. I doubt I've ever had a conversation with him. But,
okay, so this gross sexual imposition is a criminal offense defined as non-consensual sexual conduct involving force, an incapacitated victim, or an underage person. It differs from rape because it involves sexual touching of erogenous zones rather than sexual penetration. This charge is used in specific states like Ohio and North Dakota.
Well, I mean, if he's not guilty, I guess that's good, but, you know, the problem with these things is you never really know.
Well, if you have to trust the jury process and believe that, you know, after sitting through, I was strange that I was thinking about it today, about sitting through Ayers' trial and how that just kind of changed me as a human. He was a driving instructor. I just Googled it.
Yeah, I'm sure that's where I know him from.
Okay, he was a driving instructor. He was arraigned and went back to March 16th. Second-degree felony charge of sexual battery involving a 16-year-old. And it looks like they dropped it. Well, they changed it to gross sexual imposition. Let me see. State that he inappropriately touched a 16-year-old student, solicited the victim's phone number, and even discussed plans to run away with her. In response to these serious allegations, the Crawford County Common Pleas Court, okay, $100,000 bond, so that would have been $10,000.
So how does that get confused, and why could this man not come up with $10,000? I'm not saying that everybody's just got $10,000 laying around, but he's not a young guy, and I mean, he did have a job.
If he's 71 and he's still working, odds are he needs the money, you know?
Yeah, but isn't there a bail bonds place?
So that's the thing, okay? You pay the bail bondsman, so when Ayers paid his $50,000, he gave it to the bail bondsman, and the bail bondsman actually pledges to the court the $500,000. So if you skip out, then they have to pay the court $500,000, and for that pledge, they get to keep your 10%.
So
for them to take the risk, them taking the risk of posting that entire bond, they get to keep your 10%.
Well, that's kind of a horrible...
That's like when you hear people putting up houses and stuff like that.
Well, why would the judge not get... See, I don't understand in these cases why the judge does not give the person...
a reasonable bond that you're entitled to under constitutional, right?
Yeah, I mean, just, you know, if you don't have
some bonds are so heinous, or some crimes are so heinous that you don't deserve...
But it's not attainable. My understanding always was the reason people put a bond on somebody was that they had had prior crime, they had committed prior crimes.
No, it's to guarantee your appearance in court.
Well, right, but you had committed prior crimes, or you were a flight risk, or you were a danger to yourself or somebody else, but I don't see that in these cases.
Everybody is considered a flight risk when...
But that's not true. There are people who don't get bonds.
When you're considered a flight risk when you're facing 20, 40 years in prison, so they set that number pretty high.
Well, but I've known people who didn't have bonds put on them for murder. And they were accused of it because, you know, that takes a long time to come to trial.
They got out on their own recognizance?
Well, I think they had an attorney there, and I think the attorney argued that, you know, this thing needs to be argued. There are no prior convictions. There's no criminal record. Why would this person be a flight risk? Yeah, I don't think you can argue that the person's a flight risk because their possibility of being guilty are we're all flight risks.
That is. That's the reason why we get a bond.
But I don't think everybody does. But not everybody does get a bond.
On serious crimes, you do. I can't think of a serious crime that someone hasn't gotten a bond on.
But I would think that, and I'm not saying that's not serious, but that doesn't seem like a crime that would have a $100,000 bond.
It involves a minor. That's the reason why, but, I mean, Ayers was $500,000.
I don't understand it. But then again, see, the thing is, you never know if they're innocent or not. You truly never do. And that's why it's hard to make definitive statements. I think leave those people to make their own statements about what happened. But it's very hard. You know, sometimes you find things out years later that you never would have thought.
Oh, definitely, I know. About finding things out years later.
Yeah, but I mean, people who are found innocent are not guilty. And then you find out, oop, well... You know, they did it again. And then even though they're still not guilty from the first round, now you're looking at them going, now wait a second, This doesn't add up.
Well, the best predictor of future behavior is relevant past behavior, or something along those lines.
I don't know. The whole thing to me, I can't say I feel bad for the guy, because there is a chance he could have done it. But then I can't say that I feel good, because maybe he didn't. I don't know. It's a mess.
The jury found him not guilty. So, like I said, we have to trust the jury.
But so did you. But they also found OJ not guilty, and things of that nature. And that's why.
Anthony.
Yo, there you go. And where's she? Still somewhere in Ohio?
I don't know.
So
the last I knew, they saw her at an Old Navy.
Well, here's the thing. I don't know that any case is an absolute. That's why I think accusations are so very important to go through before you charge anybody with anything. Because I think
definitely in an investigation, no shooting from the hip there. And I go back again to the Ian Gordon situation. That was an 18-month investigation. It took 18 months after the report was made, the initial report, and then these people started coming out of the woodwork before he was indicted. And then I think it took another, I think he got almost 2 years time served in jail, like off of his sentence, because he was in jail for so long before he went to trial.
Well, here's the thing.
Before he pled guilty.
But the person who made the child, who made the accusation toward this driving instructor, now, something had to have happened. Because even in Ayers' case, we now know something did happen.
Mm-hmm. An allegation was made.
Yeah. And you know, for whatever reason, people want to draw the conclusion of why that was made. Something did happen. So, something did happen here. No.
Let's not say something did happen. Let's just say an allegation was made. Because I listened to the trial, and there...
I'm not saying a crime was committed. I'm saying something happened.
An allegation was made.
Yes, that precipitated. An allegation. There were things going on that precipitated the allegation. So it's not as if the police just showed up and wanted to throw somebody in the slammer.
Right.
And that's the case with this driving instructor, I'm sure, too. But what happened? See, that's the problem. I don't know. And this is where I get in. You know, if you don't have any record and you're 71 years old, I mean, why?
And I'm certainly not making excuses. And I will say that I am guilty of this. I'm guilty of putting a hand on people's shoulders, or like, you know, touching their arm while I'm talking to them or something like that. That's just, I'm very animated.
I don't do that for that reason.
Well, I try to be conscious of it. Because of that reason, because number one, not everyone likes to be touched, and I don't like to be touched, but yet I still do it. But people might misconstrue me touching them as something sexual when it's definitely not. It's just part of, you know, my style or my speaking or my mannerisms. So yes, I try to be very conscientious of that.
The only thing I will ever do is slap somebody in the arm. You know, like a backhanded slap
like
in the arm.
Like on the shoulder, like how you doing kind of thing, sort of thing.
Yeah, I'll do that because I know there's no possible way that's... Matter of fact, they probably say ow 9 times out of 10. So it's not going to be construed as anything inappropriate. Probably more battery than anything
abuse.
Else. Yeah, physical abuse.
Assault.
Battery.
Well, one thing is, like, a woman my age, I struggle with, like, seeing little kids, and, oh, they're so cute, you know, you just want to, like, I don't want to touch people's kids, but, you know what I mean, like, oh, I don't even want to just be like, they're just so adorable these days, because I don't want people to think I'm some kind of freak and oohing and aahing over their kids, but I just think their bows are adorable, or their little boat shoes, or whatever, you know, so I even try to be aware of that and not try to be a weirdo. When it, you know, oh, her little dress is so cute. That nothing, you know, I try not to do that stuff, even though I'm grandma age, and that's what grandmas do.
You know, I think about it, and I don't know. It's so unfortunate that we live in a world where I guess an accusation is always going to hang over somebody's head. This is where I really believe that media, this is why I have such a problem with media now, and the internet age, is, and we use the internet, obviously, But the problem is that there are no ethics at all. And I'm not really sure why the internet age ushered that in. Because newspapers have never had to operate under ethics such as an FCC or anything like that. They never had to be ethical. And they still really don't. But, and sometimes they do get it wrong. And sometimes the story isn't exactly right. But, you know, the internet has just gone all out to, I'll completely make the story up, and I'll
create an AI image to go along with it.
And it'll live there forever. And I have no facts to back it up at all. I mean, I don't understand
that. Silent sabotage is coming to mind right now.
Oh. Well, you know,
People are still arguing, Scott. I'm so astounded that people are still arguing that, like, Faber doesn't have the whole story. He doesn't know exactly what's going on. And it really is this software issue. They're still, like, doubling down on it so persistently.
But I understand why that was done. The whole story of silent sabotage was created. Even though, honestly, I must not be in their algorithm, because I probably never liked their page. So I never saw much of this, but the point, I only heard about it in city council and places like that, and on my show. Well, that's okay.
You heard about it from our elected representatives,
I did. Yeah. But here's the thing. I get that when you do something bad and you get a lot of bad press, if you think you can come up with a good story, that will deflect some of that. But what they don't understand, and this is the internet world, this is the problem, once you're accused of something and once somebody writes it, it's there forever. And it doesn't matter. People can believe silent sabotage, but you know what? There are people who are always going to believe that it's not true. People, the Ayers thing, there are always going to be stories about him being accused of rape. Same thing with this guy. And, you know, it's a bad, bad world to live in, honestly. It's not exactly, it's not on the up and up.
Well, I will be completely honest with you that not that I really needed to, but I do my best to mind my P's and Q's simply because I don't want to be splashed all over the internet about, you know, I was in there being a raging hack because they put tomatoes on my sandwich and now my bread tastes like tomato juice and I hate soggy tomato bread with seeds all over it. And I'm sure you have somewhat, I don't want to say that I'm a celebrity, people just happen to know who I am, but I'm sure you have somewhat more of a celebrity status and that. Not that I think that you would lose your cool, but that you have to, I don't want to say play a role, but you have to probably be a little more well-behaved or you're more scrutinized or, like, I didn't realize it the other day. I'm just doing random grocery shopping, bending over the bananas looking for the best bunch, and I hear somebody say, "Are you Naomi Craig?" I'm like, yeah, who's asking? Why? No, I'm her twin sister. Or her cousin, you know, something like, yeah, and I'm like, I can't even, you know, if I'd been like, GD, bananas all suck, they'd probably been like, Naomi's over there cussing at the bananas, talking to herself all crazy, so, yeah.
Well, it's weird, I said this earlier today, nobody ever says bad things to you, like this week, the other day, I don't know what it was just one of those mornings, I guess, I was in the store, and somebody came up, and they said, "Is it true you interviewed Dick Gregory?" And I go, "Oh yeah, Dick Gregory used to be on, he was on quite a few times." He said, "Wow," and they started asking me questions about Dick Gregory, and that was fun. And probably within 10 minutes, somebody came up and said, "You know, every time I see you, I think of Phil Donahue." And, you know, that's what they say. Or they say, great interview, or good direct questions, or I remember when you did this, or that's what I get. And that's always nice.
But you are recognizable, so if you had a meltdown in public, it would be very public.
Probably, but I don't think I've honestly... Now, see, I'm not trying to say that I'm perfect here, but, you know, I people will tell you who are around me a lot, I am not a screamer, a yeller.
I believe you're probably a rather laid-back fellow, whereas, as I've already admitted to, I'm a bit more animated than you, so... There are times that now I bite my tongue where I might have pulled someone, or I might think of a more diplomatic way to tell them to go to hell than just say, go to hell. you know, because it'll turn into I got cussed out by that bitch Naomi Craig and everybody's right about her, and then it would just turn into a giant hate thread with 1,000 comments, and I'd get the death threats and the hate mail and all the other stuff again. So,
well, you know what's interesting? I think because of a lot of goodwill over the years by doing things like interviews with people that people thought was kind of high-ended, the
auditor of state the day after we get put into fiscal emergency is pretty big.
That was good. Well, but because of that, when people say negative things about me, I don't even have to do anything irrational.
Right, just breathing. Breathing does it.
That does it.
Successful.
When people say negative things, if anybody even brings it up to me, which is rare, but if they do, it's usually to say, you know, I'm sorry somebody did that to you. That's such nonsense. That's what they say.
I just tell people don't even mention it to me anymore. Like, you don't need to send me the screenshots. You don't need to tag me because I really don't care. I don't care what strangers think. And I think it's so peculiar. I have this woman hanging around my page. Her name is Nancy Kennedy. I've never met this woman, and I only mentioned her name, so if people know her, you know what kind of an unhinged woman she is. She just comes to my page every day, basically, to tell me how much she hates me, and that I'm attention-seeking, and all I do is, I mean, just all kinds of horrible things. I've never met this woman before, and going through her page, she looks like she must be about late 60s, 70 years old, so old enough to be my mother, and like today, she's just hateful comment after hateful comment, and some of my friends are like, what's wrong with you? You know, like, and she's telling me I'm attention-seeking. Lady, what are you doing when you come to my page every time and leave 15 comments on a picture that I post? It's just very bizarre.
Well, see, I guess I've never really had that. Now, maybe that's because I don't post many provocative or any real provocative things. But I think I don't know. It's a different world. I think it's also the time that I started. Nice of me to show up for the last 10 minutes. But, no, I think that's part of it. I think is that I lived in, you know, I really did live in the right era. Before the internet era came in, I was already in. I was already established.
Hey, I had your reputation.
Yeah.
I
started at the only radio station in this town, and there was no television station to speak of. So it was the right time. So, you know, that's the problem with start. It would be very hard to start to do this now. I mean, I think it'd be very difficult.
Yeah, and establish your I want to say customer base, but you know what I mean. Your listenership. There we go.
Yeah, the people who know you and like you and have paid attention.
I think you need to bump up the internet volume capability, bandwidth, or whatever it is that you do with internet, because I think you're getting overloaded because you are you're the dirty little secret of Mary, and everybody listens, but nobody wants to talk about it until we're all alone and we're whispering about the things that were said. But you're dropping signal a lot, even when I'm sitting at home, and then somebody sent me a picture the other day that I was in the middle of blabbing about something, and they're like, oh, Naomi Craig just got taken out. Because when you last saw her on the phone the other day, my husband immediately texted because he was listening during break at work, and he said, did they just snipe Shabber? So I think maybe you might need a little more bandwidth or something. Maybe you need a commercial or two a month to your...
Well, it's interesting, the number of people who listen, because I'll tell you something that's very interesting. When I started, now this is a little radio story here. People like these from time to time. When I started in radio, WMRN was at the era where they had stopped taking phone calls. Now, really, they only took phone calls for Tradio and Quickie Quiz, and that was it. And people were kind of trained that way. They would not open the phone lines like what we're doing right now. That would not have happened there when I came there. Nobody did that. So, I like that, because I like the unexpected. I think partially they did it because, didn't do it, because...
They were regulated, weren't they?
Well, they were regulated, but it was also because I think they were very planned broadcasters there. They had AP Wire in the morning that they read every half hour, like clockwork. They had the Marion Star, they had the USA Today, they had the Columbus Dispatch, and they read stories out of there. They had kicker stories, and I didn't like doing that. I thought, if this is what I'm going to do for 3 hours every morning, this ain't going to work. So that's I started doing the interviews, but when I didn't have an interview to do or to play, I just, well, let's talk about something. So that's where that started. But if it's not an interesting subject, people don't call. And they didn't call when we had, you know, what people thought was the enormous audience of radio. And maybe it was an enormous audience. I don't know. But there were times when it's slower. You know, there it just is that way. If people want to talk about it and can get to a phone, they will. But I think it's even more difficult now because now it's cell phones. It used to be landlines in those days. Now it's cell phones, and if you're driving, you really can't get on the phone like that. It's hard.
Unless you want some kind of big fine and to possibly lose your license. I mean, it's like $300+ I'm hearing.
Well, Ryan, also, listening at work is difficult if you have a certain type of a job. So, you know, I understand that. And that's okay. But I do realize when we, like, give away a $100 Kroger gift card, the people who listen, or when we do the fruitcake toss or, you know, participation events, then you see the people who come out of the woodwork or the people who walk up to you and say, I enjoyed that. So that's good.
Well, I would have to think that some of your, the people that showed up on Monday night were listeners of your show, because where else would they be hearing show up and we're talking about Flock?
Probably. Well, there was actually a girl I talked to who was rather young that night. She was one of the speakers. And, yeah.
Richwood or Labor or something along those lines?
Something like that. And I didn't know who she was. But she knew who I was. So that was nice. And you
that's
know,
me, too. So that must be where people feel like they know you. Or they feel like they know me, anyway. Like, I don't, like, and I don't mind that out of certain people. Like, Mr. Erickson, Dan Erickson. He and I have spoken, and he's a very nice man. We spoke on the phone at length, as a matter of fact. He asked if he could call me, and I gave him my telephone number, and that was at City Council. And I know he listens to your show from time to time, and, yeah, so.
That's good.
Yeah.
Well, and I know the City Council people do. I know the mayor does, and, you know, those mm-hmm. are good things. So it's all very positive. It's all on the up and up, and I think that it's interesting to still be in this kind of a news climate, and I am surprised. You know, like, I don't get the Marianne Star, and I don't subscribe to it, so I don't read it online.
Listen, I saw you standing at Kroger one day. You were busy doing something, so I didn't say hello. I tried to bash into Matt with my cart. I'm sure he remembers that day.
Do you remember that, Matt? Oh, he does.
Yeah. See, I was buying salads that day. That's why I was over in produce. But you were busy doing something at the counter. But as I was walking out, I saw the Marianne Star to my right side, and I thought that's where he reads it.
That is. If I catch it, that's where it is. I go over
you
and
read
I...
read it, you fold it up and put it back.
Yeah, that's right. See, when you unfold it, you got to remember to unfold on the crease and hold it just so... Don't have anything on your hands, so you can put it back over there. But, yeah, that's...
The fringe benefits. Fringe
right.
Benefits.
But what were you saying the other day? Because I don't read the Marianne Star. Didn't you say something the other night about being in the paper? Or being in a paper or being on something?
Me or you?
You. Am I wrong about this, Matt?
I was not. The guy that said we need the Flock cameras in the auditor's office was on the 11 o'clock news. And then the young woman that you were talking about, you spoke to at council that said she, you said, we were just referencing her. She was also on the news.
Oh, okay.
You had made mention that he had Scott had like a quote in the paper or something.
Oh, yes, but I'd have to go back and look at it.
Oh, see, I didn't even know this.
I think I screenshotted it.
Well, what was it? What would they quote me on? I hope it was profound.
Did you talk to the news when they were here? I know they talked, but such panic interview. And I know you were out there listening. I don't know if they... Did they talk to you then?
Not on camera, no. But
well, I mean, did they talk to you to where they could quote you?
I don't recall that conversation, but they did call. Yeah, I had a conversation with them before they ever came.
Oh, so you knew they were coming?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, listen, it's you, Mr. Connected.
Well, no, I guess that happens every so often. You would be surprised that, you know, I'll get a phone call. And
it's Colleen's station, too, so, I mean, you got that hook up there, too.
Yeah, her and I have a good relationship.
Well, and I'm glad because she's a valuable source of information for us, and then to get our information out to the public too. And she's such a nice woman,
So what? Well, I'm waiting for my profile. Because I'm curious now what this was.
So I'm going to have to just search, and you're just going to have to let me get back to you on that one.
No, I mean, but what was it in the neighborhood? I don't need to know the exact quote. What was it in the neighborhood of?
I don't know. I'm looking at a dryer full of underwear and socks right now.
Matt? Was it? What was it?
You
what could it have been about?
Was
it about flock cameras?
No, because you don't talk about flock, really. I mean,
no, other people talk about flock. I just control that.
You don't take a. I mean, you don't take a stand, though. You're just like, I don't think the votes are there, so you don't say.
Well, that's what I'm wondering. What they could have quoted me on. So the Marianne Star quoted me on something.
I don't know. I'm gonna have to go back and look.
Well, we know they listen then, I guess.
I read too much stuff to, you know, I wonder, well, I don't know.
It would have had to have been because you told, didn't you say that it would have had to have been at City Council? So that was before the Channel 4 thing aired.
You just kind of like, you were just like, oh, you know, you done, I don't remember exactly how you phrased it, but basically you done caused a frenzy and then mentioned that he was quoted in the paper.
See, oh, yeah, the Marianne Star.
See, Matt's got photographic memory.
Okay, I remember now where you were even standing by the balcony, and I told you. I said, well, you caused quite the hullabaloo because Collins had been, he had given a statement to the Marianne Star between the time that you announced on your show that there was a fiscal emergency, had given a statement to the Marianne Star, and they had enough time to issue an article or create an article and post it. And it was basically, he wasn't expecting it to be released this morning, so City Hall had been in a frenzy. And it's not necessarily that you were quoted, but your show was the one that released it publicly and caused the frenzy.
Well, that's interesting. I caused a frenzy in town.
Yes, and I do believe that was the word, frenzy. And that was a quote from him, because he wasn't expecting it to come out until Tuesday. And he wanted his employees to hear it from him first and not hear it from the local media, and that would be you. So that was.
Well, so she used something that I did, but didn't throw my name in there. Now, see there? Isn't that just how the Star is?
Well, you know, when you get scooped, that's what happens.
Wait till I see her next time. We're going to have words. Abby and I will have to have words. You know, she's okay. She's okay. But, I don't know. She's an interesting person. I'll say, you know, nothing. I'm not going to say anything negative. But
no,
she's
very quiet and reserved. And she and I talked. She was at the Ayers Ratliff trial, and obviously we talked about my mother. And so I don't want to say, like, we have a good relationship, but I feel like we bonded. We don't have a bad one, but it's not like we're kicking it or anything. But she's just a very private person. And,
well, I think to have a conversation with her would be a little awkward. I don't think her and I have... I mean, she'll smile. We'll do like a smile and a wave and kind of like an eye raise.
We have entirely different personalities, that's for certain.
There you go. So I think it's just it's a different... I don't know what... one time we did talk in the hallway when there was one of those, you know, closed door portions of City Council. And we did talk...
Discussion.
Yeah, we talked out in the hallway. But it was... it was almost like I was interviewing her, because she had just come and...
Yes, and the Ayers Ratliff trial, it was very similar, like she and I were speaking, and obviously she's sitting in there, and the whole thing is, you know, what do you think is going on, and you can't help but ask her that, and she's like, I'm not going to say, and I was like, okay, I get it, as a journalist, you don't want to have an opinion on it, but then it was like the conversation, there wasn't much more conversation after that, but... She was nice, and I know some things about her, but I could also understand why she doesn't want people knowing things about her around here, because she might write controversial or...
Oh, she's got a past? Well, do tell now, see.
She had a fedora and had a little thing on it that said press and a trench coat and, well, sticky notepad.
Now, she would not strike me as somebody who had a past.
She didn't sit in the press box. She just sat in the gallery with the rest of us.
Well, does she strike you, Matt, as somebody who had, like, a salacious past?
Not really, no.
No. Did she? Did she have a salacious past?
What I know about her is that she doesn't live in Marion. I know where she lives, but I'm not going to disclose that because it's not my place to.
No, I know where she lives, so I'm with you on that.
She enjoys, she's quite the adventurous young woman. She does rock climbing.
Rock climbing, she hurt her leg, I remember that.
Yep, that sort of thing. And she, let's see, her boyfriend does something rather prestigious and interesting. I don't remember what it is exactly, but they chose to live where they live because it was closer for him to commute than for her. So she's kind of, I want to say, she's definitely a fledgling journalist, but is working on her portfolio and finding her footing. And I think she's, I think we can see the, on your free newspaper steals you can. I think we can see the progression in her work.
I just think, unfortunately, I don't know if the written word is going to be a thing. I don't know. I really don't know. It's much more difficult. I've seen the progression of the podcast, and I've seen the progression of, I think people like a personality, and I think the days of the newspaper, which was delivered to your door, and so on and so forth.
Reading in general.
Yeah, unfortunately,
it's on the decline.
Yeah.
Well, there's statistics behind that. I mean, less books, less Kindles, even e-books. That sort of thing are being purchased in the podcast.
Well, Matt, what's coming up on your show? We'll get to hear from you tonight.
My show is going to be local, state, national politics.
Uh-oh.
Oh, well, there you go. But did you start off by talking about me causing a frenzy in City Hall?
I'll be sure to bring
you
it up.
You read it in the newspaper. I caused a frenzy at City
Hall. I'll find it.
Hey, listen, I had a nice conversation with Mayor Collins on Monday night. It was fun.
That's what was so bizarre is that I walk in and tell you that you caused a frenzy, and then you tell me, well, we just had a lovely chat. And I'm like, well, isn't that like first time you
I didn't see him coming because that, you know, it hasn't happened. And here he came, like, out of the blue.
I mean, I saw him coming, like, towards us, but then, you know, he just, you know, he stopped and talked, and I wasn't ready for that.
No, it was the most cordial conversation you would have ever heard in your life. I mean, it was...
the volume kicking in.
Don't know. It was as nice a conversation as you could have with somebody. Very positive.
I wasn't there, but that just strikes me as bizarre, because he's just all but avoided you. I mean, I know you said you've had your pleasantries in passing, but hasn't he all but sort of avoided you for the past however long?
Yeah, but it is a weird relationship because, like I have pointed out, go back and look in the archives when he was deputy sheriff, he would come on. When he was running for mayor, he would come on. Election night, when he won, he called in during our election coverage. I never had a bad... I sat behind him at meetings at city council and interviewed him when they were over. I never had a bad relationship with the man. So there was never...
I want to get this in really quick because I'm going to dig around over the weekend for the minutes. But apparently, like one of the last finance meetings of 2023 before he came into office, he was made abundantly aware, and I guess it's documented, that the city should have been considering fiscal caution then because of the state of the finances. So he was made aware before he was sworn in as mayor to the situation and still chose to come in with that. Been aggressive with the spending platform, so I think that'll be interesting to come across and point that out to people.
And we'll be back Monday. Hey, thanks for calling tonight.
Take care, guys.
Bye-bye. All right, Matt's coming up next. Are you ready?
I'm excited.
All right. Okay, just awake. Is that what happened? You overslept?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. It was a nice nap, though.
Oh, I bet it was. Matt will be coming up next, and for the weekend, Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
Computer guy. Right here, today's top and trendy technology topics with yours truly, every Wednesday and Thursday between 12:13 p.m. and 1, right here on The Talking Place.